G'day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to session one of Dungeon Ruse, The Wild Beyond the Witchlight. My name is Royce. I am the DM. And before we get into it, I do want to just run through a couple of announcements. Firstly, I want to throw a massive shout out to one of our friends at the Crit and Miss. They are running through the Baldur's Gate Descent into Arvanus. It is on Twitch. The link is in our Facebook page. Second thing I want to do is I want to obviously promote our Facebook page. Guys, please jump onto our Facebook page. Just search for Dungeon Ruse and hit a like, hit a subscribe, make sure that you're following us. We do have, from there, you can actually find our other pages, including our Twitch, our Discord, our Twitter, and Instagram pages. Guys, feel free to jump on all those. And we are in the process of setting up a Patreon. Guys, the reason we are doing all this in setting up ourselves and started the whole Dungeon Ruse thing is every one of us at this table is or has some connection to the military, whether it's their ex-serving or currently serving members, family of serving or ex-serving members, or just friends. Everyone here knows someone that has served or is serving. And with that, obviously, one of the things that we don't like about service is that there is a high suicide rate within the ex-service community for the ex-service men. You'll find that it's about 21% higher than the Australian population in general. And the other one, the ex-service women, is an atrocious 127% higher. That's 2.23 times the amount of ex-service women will take their lives over the standard within Australia. It's too high, and obviously we want to do something about it. What do we want to do? There's a couple of things we want to do. So our main goal is obviously to raise awareness. We want to raise awareness on the amount of suicides of Australian ex-servicemen, and we want to hopefully that will inspire people to take action. And then our big goal is obviously we want to be able to be the people that we can offer a hand out and help these ex-service people up in their time of need so that they don't make the ultimate decision and take their own lives. Okay, so how can you help? Couple of things. First of all, I want you to start hugging a vet. That's right, hug a vet is going to be the new thing. When you give the vet a hug, also ask him, very Australian thing to ask him is, are you okay? Okay, we have an Are You Okay Day here in Australia, but I want to make that every day for an ex-vet. So if you know a vet or an ex-service person, give them a hug and ask them if they're okay. All right, that's all we want you to do. All right, last announcement I've got is we are down two players today. Unfortunately, there are they have their reasons and I can't, obviously I won't go into them. George, who plays Grexis, will not be with us tonight, as well as we are missing Luke, who plays, let me see if I can pronounce this yet, Eltharion, who won't be in tonight, okay? However, they're just going to ghost along, so we're going to pretend they're with us, and we'll catch up with them next week when we run into it. All right, so where we left off last week was at session zero, and at session zero we basically had set ourselves up, and then we set the scene where we're just outside the gates. It's just before midnight, and what we're going to do now is we're going to move it through to midnight when the gates open. So, ladies and gentlemen, guys, are you ready?
Definitely.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Awesome. All right, so a silver statue of a dancing fairy is mounted on the roof of this ticket booth and surrounded by fluttering butterflies. The booth is decorated with an animated depiction of the night sky, the shooting stars arcing across it. An elderly goblin perches behind the ticket counter, peering at you quizzically through a spyglass. He lowers the spyglass and calls out to you, "Greetings, fair-goers. Welcome to the Witchlight Carnival." What do you do?
Oh, Tecto being in a bit of awe, is just bewildered and looking around. Probably with a bit of a sense of remembrance, but not too much.
Awesome.
Darren is going to approach the others and go, weren't you the guys that were involved in that incident at the school?
Ew. What kind of... Hang on. I don't know what kind of incident you're talking about. Just refresh my memory, good sir.
The one with the once dead orc.
Oh, yes. You mean Durad right over here.
Yeah, that fella.
Yeah, you're talking about me.
Oh, he is still alive and conscious?
I am.
He's become good friends of ours out at the school.
Considering how terrible that resurrection magic was, I am somewhat surprised.
I mean, alive is alive.
You can't complain, can you?
Well, I certainly can. My knee's still a bit stiff, but... I get by.
That's right. You were the young fella that was learning the ropes back then.
By young fella, I assume you mean younger than the other cleric who was there?
Well, most definitely. He had this big long white beard, so I'm just assuming it was you, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm younger than him.
Yeah.
And I was there. And that is still a confusing thing. I just wanted to know if it was you, because you looked familiar.
Well, I'd like to go in and see what's all going on. This is big and fancy. I have vague memories of being here before, but never been able to find it since myself. But
all right. So the as you guys look towards the ticket booth, you see the goblin wave you guys forward.
Come on, come on! You're holding up the line.
What do you do?
Oh, I just start wandering over.
Yeah, I'll follow.
Yeah, we should just go on.
All right. So you reach the ticket booth, and what are you going to do? What are you going to say?
So how much is it for a ticket then?
You look up, and behind him there is actually ticket prices. You see that adult ticket prices are 8 silver pieces each, and children are 3 copper pieces.
Well, this kind of puts me in a bit of a tough situation, as most of my money is tied up in the school that we go to. So what would be your name, young master behind the booth?
What is he? The elderly goblin looks at you and goes, "Ah, my name is Nicholas.
Nicholas, yes. And you say you don't have money?"
No, sir. I'm a little bit out of the way. See, I go to that fancy school that you guys have appeared near. And it's kind of got all my phones tied up.
I may have a deal for you.
I'm listening, good sir.
Okay.
Yeah, you must do student rates.
Yeah.
I do not do student rates, I'm sorry. Yeah. But, there is a way we can give you a ticket, but it is making a pact with the Fae. If you decide to do this, the ticket is valid for one night only. If you decide to do this, I promise it is not that bad. It's a lot of fun.
What does Tecto know about the Fae?
What is Tecto's knowledge basis?
Not much.
On the Fae?
Standard wizard kind of going enchantment-wise, so...
Not a lot.
Not
so,
with
if
the possibility of Grexis going on a rant and him being the teacher of them,
I would know a bit, seeing as I am a fairy and my family originally came from the Feywild.
Yep. So what I'll do is, I would say, give me a knowledge, an investigate, bit, no, a history check, with advantage, because obviously you're going to give you some basic information.
Thank God it's with advantage. 17.
Okay, with a 17, you're fairly well knowledgeable on the understanding that the pact is binding in most senses, in that if you do make a pact, you do have to carry it out. However, you do get a feeling in this case that there is a possibility that the pact won't be so bad. You do also have an underlying belief that you know that the Fae cannot lie.
Okay.
The goblin is not fey.
No table talk. Okay, so what are you going to do?
Well, good. Nicholas, you said your name was, so.
Mm-hmm.
What would this pack entail?
Well, I'll get you to roll a D8.
Two.
So Nicholas, from behind, pulls out a crown of flowers, and with a big smirk, he says, "Simple. You wear this around all day, all night, tonight, and I give you a free ticket."
Well, that don't seem so bad. You're not asking for too much. I don't have to give too much. I think, good sir, we might have a deal.
All right. So he then hands you the crown. What do you do with the crown?
Put it on.
So you place the crown on your head. He extends his hand and shakes your hand to seal the deal. Also handing you a ticket and a map of the carnival. And then he looks at you and goes, "I must warn you, you must water it every hour. And you cannot take it off."
The whole time I'm here?
The whole time you're here.
For the one day?
For the one day.
Okay.
Awesome.
That don't seem so bad, I guess.
And how may I serve you? He looks at Darren.
I think I will just pay with money.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I do not feel like becoming a potted plant.
This ain't so bad.
So you hand over the 8 silver pieces, and he hands you a ticket and the map.
By 8 silver pieces, you mean 1 gold piece, and he gives me 2 back, 2 silver back.
Whatever works for you, mate. He then turns to Durad and asks the same question. "And how may I serve you?"
Well, I've only been alive for since the experiment?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I've only been alive for a year or two, so does that entitle me to a children's ticket?
No, I'm sorry.
It was worth a shot. I too seem to be in a bit of a pickle.
I can offer you one of two things.
One of two things? What are those things?
You've got your friends who you can ask, or I can offer you a pact.
I guess I'll take a pact.
Roll a D8 for me, please.
I should ask Braxis to pay.
you guys know that I am more than charitable.
That's a 6.
I'm okay with the plan.
You seem like someone who is not, being very young, I would say that I think that what I would ask you to do is just greet all the trees in the area with great reverence. Could you do that?
That I can do.
He then walks over, shakes your hand, and goes, "Every tree you see, you must greet with great reverence." Sealing the pact and then handing you your ticket and your map. He then looks at Ginkgo and with a big smile on his face and goes, "And how can I help you?"
"Well, I got the money, but I kind of feel we're setting a trend here. What's the deal?"
"Well, you can pay, as always. Or you can take a pact. What would you like to do?"
"What's the pact first?"
"Well, the pact, I'll get you to roll a D8.
So 6.
I'll get you to re-roll a D8.
That's a one.
Being fae, being a fairy, I would assume that you would never lie. Would that be true?
No, never lied in my life.
I hope you're not telling a lie.
The pact I have for you is simple. Do not tell a lie knowingly.
Here's 4 silver. 8 silver.
8 silver. So you're not taking the pact?
Nope.
Am I to assume you're going to lie? Deliberately.
He takes the money from you and hands you your map and your ticket. Before you go, he grabs you together and he hands you a set of butterfly wings, fairy wings, including you, Ginkgo, who's already got a set on.
Guys, I must say, you must wear the wings as you walk around. It is the way that the staff know that you are a paying member.
Okay.
Also, your tickets are good for 8 events. Okay? So 8. You must get them a hole punched in them every time you go to an event. Okay? The person at the booth at the session will let you know.
Okay.
I must remind you, please be polite throughout the event, throughout the whole place. All right? If you are polite, you will find that the place is a lovely, lovely place. If you start a fight or if you be evil, I cannot guarantee that you will remain within the confines of the carnival. Is that understood?
Yeah, definitely. Yes.
I thought so, sir.
Awesome. Okay, and the only other thing I have for you, my dear friends, yours.
And now I'm having a mind blank, which is not cool.
Oh, is guys, you must go to the Big Top at midnight. There is an extravaganza there that must not be missed.
Oh, it's midnight now.
Oh, sorry. No, it's in 4 hours.
So, at 4 a.m., you must go to the Big Top. And then, later on, you must, at the end of the night, you must go to the Big Top again for the crowning of the Witchlight Monarch. Will it be one of you?
Is this a you must or you really should?
It's more you really should.
Okay.
Yes, yes, yes. Now go, have fun.
And he waves you through.
All right.
I put the wings on.
Definitely put the wings on.
I'll put the wings on, but I look back at the people behind us with the ticket and I'm still just keep overlooking to see if they get wings.
I love the paranoia. That's awesome.
What do you mean? Faced wings with a floral crown? It's beautiful.
I look beautiful, don't I?
You absolutely do.
Awesome. So for the guys at home who are listening to this, I have put onto the Facebook page a copy of the map so that when the guys start talking about where they're going, you can see where they're going. From here, guys, I am going to ask, in which direction are you going to head?
Well, I'm going to be a bit honest. I think the Hall of Illusions sounds quite fun. As Tecto looks at the map, he's very, very taken back. It is quite large.
Hall of Illusions.
Well, it kind of seems
interesting.
Seems a little fun, you know. Up my alley a little bit. But also, I must say, Dragonfly Rides seems like a hell of a fun.
Dragonfly Rides?
Yeah.
Glasses?
Ooh. Over on the far right of the map, below the Feasting Orchard. That just sounds like death.
Well, that is over near where we are now, so why do we not start with that? If we are just here at the entrance near the ticket booth, might the rapid fire route. It's just a hop, skip, and a jump away.
Yeah, that does sound rather fun. I think we should go over there.
Let's go ride something.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to make a beeline for the dragonflies. Oh, any of y'all come? Okay.
Absolutely.
So as you're walking in to the... heading toward, walking in the gate, and before you get too far, a 12-foot walking tree, garlanded in golden ribbons, marches down the thoroughfare. Emerald clouds swirl above the tree and rain down golden, spinning sycamore seeds. Fair girls try to catch the seeds before they hit the ground as the seeds gently fall. A chatty squirrel scampers along the boughs of the tree, handing dandelions to selected passers-by. What do you do?
Good evening, mighty tree.
The tree creaks and bends as it waves and thanks you. What do you do?
Oh, I'm kind of like straight on that. Let's go for a dragonfly ride. Kid at a carnival. Let's go.
Yep, cool. So before anybody else.
I try to catch... Darren tries to catch one of the things in his on his tongue.
Give me a dexterity check, please.
Yep. A solid 7.
All right, so as you stick your tongue out, unfortunately, it slides off to the left and you miss catching it with your tongue. What do you do?
Seeing that, Ginkgo's going to fly further up and try and grab one with his hands.
Give me a dexterity check, please.
Eight.
And as you must have like the most uncoordinated people ever. As you go to grab it, unfortunately it slips through your hands and you miss.
Oh,
any more for any more?
Can't get them all.
What?
Any more for any more?
Yeah, I'll try and catch one. Let's see.
Give me
a dexterity
check, please.
Seeing the rest of my party stop, I guess I'll...
An 11.
So as you reach out, you gently leave your hand out there and one floats in and lands on your hand. Roll a d8 for me.
That is an 8.
All right, so... you have gained 1d8 dice, which you can use on any ability check before the next dawn.
Hey.
Congratulations.
And it adds to that check?
Yeah, so you just add it to whatever check you want to add it to before the next dawn.
Just practically getting the 5th level bardic inspiration.
Yes. and you said you've turned back. I ask Tecto.
What y'all doing? Oh, dragonfly rides, come on, dragonfly rides, come on.
No, okay. Ginkgo, you start flying over to him.
Cool. Anything cool? Was it cool? Did I miss something? I'm pretty shit at directions, but did I miss something fun?
Yeah, don't go too far. Just stick around.
Okay.
Dragonfly rides.
Dragonfly rides! Before we go, does anyone have a water skin that I might borrow? The goblin said I had to water this every hour, and I'm that
poor. I will sell one to you, or trade one to you, in return for that fancy hat you're wearing.
Ooh.
I just give him water skin, Darren. Just gives him water skin.
Oh, you're not fun.
Well, thank you, do this. Thank you, sir. And I'll just, like, tie that to my belt, and maybe next time. Bit wary.
Before you disappear, the squirrel who runs up along the bough of one of the tree's branches runs up and starts incomprehensibly just chatting away, talking essentially to himself or to the tree, you're not sure. But he looks at Darren, and as he looks at Darren, he leans out to Darren with a dandelion. What do you do?
I say, thank you, little one, and take it gently.
And as you take it, he goes, blow, 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 you must blow, blow, blow.
I blow.
All right. And as you blow, what I want you to do is I want you to make a wish. I want you to write that wish down, and I want you to hand it to me.
Making me.
And the squirrel then runs back up to the main tree, grabbing another handful of dandelions. What do you guys do?
Hey, I'll take one of them.
The squirrel comes down, skipping along the boat, and he looks at the Ginkgo as he's flying up in the air and hands him a dandelion.
Ginkgo, I'll take it.
Blow, blow, blow. You must blow.
Ginkgo blows them.
Awesome. All right. So as you blow on it, make a wish, write that down, and then hand it to me.
That is the strangest thing, a talking squirrel. I have to get me one of those dandelions.
You've never talked to a squirrel before?
No. I've talked to a bear, and that bear is an asshole, but he just doesn't seem to be awake right now. But
bears seem to be like that. They're always grumpy.
They can't be, yeah.
They're either eating or sleeping.
He's a real dick. But I guess, yeah, I'll reach out, see if a little squirrel will give me a...
The squirrel spotting... Tecto's hand just reaching up towards a tree, runs over to the branch that Tecto's hand is nearest, jumps off the tree, scampers down Tecto's hand up onto his shoulder.
Oh shit.
And then produces the dandelion and holds it out.
I'm just going to blow it straight from your hand, little sir. Is that okay?
You do that.
Okay.
As you blow, please make a wish, write it down and hand it to me. From there, the squirrel then runs up the other arm and just waits on the arm until Tecto straightens it. Yeah, which he straightens. And then he runs back up and jumps back onto the tree. All right. He's looking around. What does he see?
Oh, now I just feel left out.
There's two others that haven't got one yet, so you don't have to feel left out. He looks at you and he's seeing that you are part of the group and seeing that everyone else is good. He comes back up, straight back up a tree, grabs another dandelion, and runs back down, following one of the boughs down, and then he jumps from the bough and lands on Darude's shoulder, holding out the dandelion, motioning for Darude to take the dandelion.
Gonna take it and blow.
Durad. So he hands Durad the. Durad takes the dandelion and blows. Make a wish, write it down, and throw it to me. From there, the squirrel runs back up, jumps off Durad's shoulder, and straight onto the tree, and the tree keeps moving, still dropping some sycamore seeds. What do you do?
I wonder if the dragonfly ride uses actual dragonflies or if it's just a matter of how it looks.
Shall we go find out?
That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
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 So you guys are going... past the ticket booth. Which way are you going to the dragonfly? You're just literally going around the right, past the lost property, is that correct?
Yeah. No, as right. The crow flies, quickest one there.
Man, that is the strangest thing. I've never had a squirrel talk to me before. This place is a lot more weirder than I first thought, and the first time I come here.
Right?
It's quite an amazing place. But anyway, dragonfly rides, come on, let's go.
I hope you guys are enjoying this. So, as you guys round the corner, you're heading towards the lost property. Outside the lost property wagon is a large feline creature with midnight blue fur. It has a pair of tentacles extending from its shoulders and wears fake butterfly wings. Hanging from its collar is a small wooden keg. The creature roughhouses with two young boys. One boy squeals, "Again, Dira, again!" while the other hangs onto the creature's neck. What do you do?
This kind of none of my concern. I want to ride the dragonflies. Is there any, like, it just seems like a little bit of fun roughhousing kind of thing, or?
Yeah, I was just about to ask.
Or is there, like, a little bit of, like, a malice intent sort of?
Give me a perception check, please.
Not insight?
Shit.
Give me an insight check.
Could I make one as well?
Better.
Yeah. Oh, no. Make it with advantage.
Okay.
If you're going to help, just makes it with advantage.
That's just bad. 7.
Yay!
2 5s in a row.
So, with a 7, you whilst you're looking at it, you don't see any form of malice. You don't see any ill intent. It looks like they're just playing. Okay.
I'd kind of keep going, making the way towards the dragon. If it doesn't seem to be malice or anything.
Yeah.
No worries.
Children.
Yeah. I like it.
There we go.
All right. So as you're walking around, you come across huge lily pads rest on the surface of a pool, glistening with phosphorescent algae. Giant dragonflies use the lily pads as landing platforms, buzzing loudly overhead with wings as brilliant as stained glass windows. They're alighting and alighting briefly to drop off and pick up excited passengers. Near the entrance, a small smiling tree turns your way and beckons you over. I think it's the same tree. A red squirrel clings to its leafy canopy, peering at you suspiciously.
Oh, he knew we were coming.
Yeah, he followed you there. All right, so what do you do?
Good evening, honey tree.
The tree bends over and smiles. And in a creaky sort of voice, which I cannot emulate, he says, "Welcome. Are you enjoying yourselves today, lady? Gentlemen, all gentlemen. Oh yes, are you enjoying yourselves today?"
"Yes, this does seem to be quite an amazing place. This is quite lovely. There's a those reading dragonflies. They're massive."
The tree looks over, looks back, and goes, "You are talking to a tree."
"That is a fair point, good sir."
"Are you real tree?"
I kind of I pinch myself a little bit, just like, am I asleep or did I?
I will also pinch him.
Ouch.
as you are looking around, you do notice that it does seem to be that the dragonflies are real, as is the tree. What do you do?
You would like to write on the dragonflies. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. No worries. It's one ticket punch in order to ride on the giant dragonflies.
Okay. Yep. First
tickets, please.
Yeah. First. Yeah.
Actual tickets, please.
Can we race each other?
If you want to race, there is races at the other end with the snail races. They are very quick.
I've never seen a fast snail in my life. I must. Yeah, this is another one we must need to check out.
I bet my snail's faster than yours.
Let's make a bet.
We shall just see.
And I'll try and find a way to make a bet with you on that. So I really
I will bet you 3 gold for that fancy floral decoration you got.
You really want this flower.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think I'm going to keep the flowers. But I'm actually, if I can find you one,
sorry,
one for yourself. Is it the flowers, is it? Or is it the fact that the goblin gave me the flowers?
It's the fact that you made a deal.
Ah, fair enough. But you know something about
her? I just want to see what happens.
I really don't want to, though.
I mean, I'm surprised you just asked me to pay for you.
What? Well, you know, we go to school together, and I just thought that, I got nothing.
Fair enough. So the
they can put half an egg in gold.
You see, as he hands the tickets back to you with the holes punched in them, you see the squirrel run up and down, up and down, up and down the tree, non-stop chatting away. The tree gets up and then starts guiding you guys towards the dragonflies. What do?
I follow the tree.
Yep.
I call green one. I want the green one.
Damn it. As you get closer to the butterfly, to the dragonflies, he helps you all up onto a dragonfly each. The dragonflies gently raise up off the ground and head around in a lazy figure of eight. What do you do?
I pat the dragonfly.
This is so surreal. I don't know what is going on. This defies all my schooling. I'm going to give it a little kick like a horse, see if I can get it to go a little faster.
All right. So before you do that, as you guys are just taking off, we'll get to that one.
Okay.
As you guys are just taking off, you hear a shouts of alarm erupt from a lily pad just behind you. What do you do?
I'll look over my shoulder and see what's
going on.
Yep, okay. As you guys look, a giant dragonfly has just taken off prematurely with the patron on its back. A middle-aged dwarf with a bright blue beard sits unfastened in his harness. The butterfly looks panicked. What do you do?
I'm just going to fly off my dragonfly and fly over to him and try and give him a shove back on.
Cool. Give me a an athletics check, please.
I'll try and steer my dragonfly over. And I'll try to just come up the side, sort of like if he pushes too hard, sort of try and push him back.
Give me a animal handling check, please.
And I'll try and use mage hand to try and refasten the dwarf back in.
Give me a perception check first.
I got a 14.
That was for trying to catch the guy.
That's as he's starting to slide off, I'm basically just going to fly up and try and shove him back onto top of the...
You are able to push him back up. He's sitting back on, but as you look, he's not happy. Your perception check was?
Six.
You can attempt to cast your spell. Let me know how. Roll for. Is it?
It's a mage hand. It just happens.
It happens. And what do you do with that? You just try to.
Try to.
Do up the seatbelt.
Yeah.
As you're trying to use the mage hand to fumble with the seatbelt, you notice that the seatbelt does. That the dwarf is actually fighting the seatbelt itself.
Two.
Dragonfly does nothing.
Come on. I should have gotten a blue one.
Oh no, he's got a blue beard, that's it.
No, I should have gotten a blue dragonfly. Okay. Not lessons.
So there's lily pads that the dragonfly land on and everything else is water, correct?
Yes.
Then I'm not going to do anything.
You don't want to get wet?
No, I don't want to accidentally make the dwarf and the dragonfly drown.
Fair call. We don't want that to happen.
I'll slap the dwarf and on the back and give him guidance, and then I'm going to fly away. I don't particularly want him to fall and drag me down.
Sorry, I missed the first part of that.
I'll give him guidance.
On the...
guidance, just a d4 to use for his next check.
To who?
To the dwarf. And then I'm going to move away.
At this point in time, you notice that the dwarf is actually deliberately dismounting the dragonfly as it's acting up. All right, and thank you very much for that default. Give me a perception check whilst you're at it.
24.
And
Jesus. That's really high.
It is.
Well done. So with a 24, you notice that the dwarf is actually running away and you can spot it. What are you going to do?
How do you mean he's running away?
It appears that he's scared the dragonfly deliberately and he is trying to escape. He is trying to escape. I use that word in the non-gender specific.
So where is he at the moment? Is he still on?
No, he's off. He's on the lily pad and he's scared. The dragonfly is now scared and he's trying to run away.
I'm just going to cast Entangle on him.
What's that? So what's the spell require?
He needs to make a strength saving throw as a DC 13.
All right. DC 13, he passes it.
No.
So he's... as you attempt to throw the your entanglement, it misses. Okay.
Sorry. And he's able to get out. 20-foot square, and that's still difficult terrain for him. But yeah, the other part of him being restrained doesn't work.
Okay, so it's just difficult terrain, which slows his movement speed down to half. Correct.
Yep.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. So he's now going to try and. Obviously, from there, he is trying to run away. Okay, what are you going to do? What's everyone else doing whilst we're at it?
I'm still trying to get this dragonfly to work.
Alright.
Does any of us notice this?
Yeah, I mean, you got one of your guys literally making a noise, so yes, you'd notice it.
Does he have wings?
Yes, he is wearing a set of fake wings.
Then I would ignore it completely. I'm going to try and get my dragonfly to go over to him.
Give me an animal handling check.
I'm not going to try and mess with the dragonfly at all. Like, is that a nine?
You're unable to get the dragonfly to do anything you would like to do. Okay, so what are you going to do?
Ginkgo's, because he's at a slower speed now, I'm just going to fly like 5 feet in front of him, but inverted, so my face is like upside down, and just like fly backwards and just like give him a really quizzical look and be like, dude, you just need to calm down. Like, do you want to ride the dragonfly?
The dwarf looks at you. How to put it? So the dwarf looks at you. And gives you a quick shove as the dwarf moves 10 feet out of the, because it's 20 feet square,
yeah.
10 feet out of the actual entanglement, and then starts to run off.
I'll stop and sort of like just shrug.
Guess you can't help some people.
I could use some help with this fucking thing. It's just coming. I'll fly back up dragonfly, but on the way there, I'll give you a pat on the back and give you some guidance because you can use some help.
Yeah, I'm sitting there.
Come on, get it, get going, fly.
Yeah. Nah,
I got it.
So the dragonfly flies. So once you get back on, strapped in, the dragonfly starts to take off, and it literally just listlessly flies up and over the entire park. At a height of about 20 feet above everything. So you're not going to get caught on anything. You're high enough that you can see, and it is quite enjoyable. Okay. Whilst we're up and doing the flight, so what do you guys do whilst you're doing the flight?
Oh, I'll be looking around and just getting a good look at over the carnival.
Yeah, see what I can see.
Yeah. I kind of like look over to Ginkgo. What took you so long?
I don't know. Like, some dwarf being scared of bugs.
go figure.
Yeah. Now, fair enough. Maybe we talk to the tree about it. Oh my god, I never thought that would be a sentence I would say. Let's go talk to the tree about the big dwarf, but you know.
You don't talk to trees?
Not very often. I know I seem insane when I talk to myself, talking to Cleaver, but yeah, I don't really talk to inanimate objects all that very much, but these are some trees that are walking here, so.
Well, they are quite animate, so.
I know you think you stand out when you talk to yourself, but considering some of the people at our school, yeah, you're one of the normal ones.
That is a fair question. Have you seen that weird thing? Durad? Sorry? He looks a bit.
Hey.
Oh, sorry. Oh, he's right there, sorry.
School project thing.
This is the school project. Sorry, Durad.
So after about 20 minutes, half an hour, the dragonflies come back and gently land on the lily pads. What do you do?
Didn't see anything cool. Just a lovely, beautiful view.
It was just a really lovely view.
That was quite fun, I guess. When it finally got working, you know. But maybe we should go talk to the red squirrel or the talkative tree about the blue-bearded fellow.
Yeah, that seems like a good idea.
Yeah, I'm just coming down the lily pad. I'm going to put my hand in the water and just sort of wet my head. Just get that owl going.
Yep, no worries.
As you bring your head up, he is prestidigitation to dry it out.
Oh, I wouldn't even notice with mine.
I will point out directly afterwards.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
I'll get the water skin out this time and all. This place is so weird.
All right, so as you guys dismount the dragonflies, you head over towards the tree, talking tree. As he guides you through and he's leading you out, what do you do?
Durand, that's another tree you've got to talk to.
Good evening, mighty tree.
This is going to be a hell of a fun, Ginkgo. But good red squirrel, sir, and tree, lord of the dragonflies. I'm just curious. Did y'all see that blue bearded dwarf? That dragonfly that was a bit.
Yeah, the little stumpy fella.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know who he is. I didn't let him in.
Oh shit! We got stowaways.
Are we allowed to stop them if they're acting weird, or do we just leave them?
I think I'm not supposed to talk about this, but I think. I don't know who he is. If you were to stop him, I do not see that as a bad thing.
Now, are we allowed to stop him with force? Or are we only allowed to stop him with like, hey, buddy, just come on, calm down now?
I don't know.
Okay, sir.
I'm not really supposed to talk about any of this.
Is there anything else you're not meant to talk about?
Well, I'm not supposed to talk about the owners.
Whoa, that's quite a thing. That's Mr. Light and Mr. Witch, correct?
Well, yes and no.
Well, what can you fill me in on that sort of situation, good sir? And I'm going to, like, thinking I'm helping, take the water skin and, like, put a bit of water on the roots of the tree.
The tree looks at you in such a weird thing. as though he thinks you're literally urinating on him. He looks up at you, looks down at the water, looks up at you again.
The water skin's in hand.
The squirrel runs up and goes and just non-stop chattering his ear, lets him know it's okay. He goes, well, I can tell you, I shouldn't tell you this, and I'm not supposed to talk about this, but Mr. Witch, Mr. Light, they aren't the original owners. And they're not even, you're not going to believe this, they're not even from the Feywild.
Excuse me, can you just say that one more time?
They're not from the Feywild.
Mr. Light are not from the Feywild.
No, but it matters not. We're one big family here.
Who's the original owner?
The tree just shrugs. As if to say, I don't know.
Did they buy it?
I believe it was, and I'm not sure, this is a rumor, and I'm not supposed to talk about this, but I believe it was one. I believe they swapped.
Like, swapped them. Carnival? This carnival?
I think so.
What is the deal with the squirrel? I'm asking in character, obviously.
The squirrel. Ah, the squirrel is my good friend, yes.
He is awesome. I'm just curious more so than not.
Yes, no, he is a good friend. You leave my squirrel alone. He is good, yes.
That's all he says about that.
This is the strangest night of my life. But I am having quite a bit of fun.
Did I make a perception check on the squirrel and see if he looks like a regular squirrel? Well, there's something.
Make any perception check, yes, go for it.
We should visit the Hall of Illusions next.
Well, there was another one that I just saw on the map.
17? With a 17, you notice, you determine, other than the fact that the squirrel's talking, it looks like a normal squirrel.
Okay.
So. Alright.
Now, I gotta mention snail raisin.
I will say, if you are looking at a map, you should probably be looking at it upside down.
That's my sense of direction, so I would be like, let's go this way, and end up back at the ticket booth.
Exactly, so you realize.
Oh, yeah, fair call.
Okay. So, so, who's got the best listening out of the four of us here today? You probably got dead ears.
Not a chance.
You're in armor. You got the biggest ears, being very
sure.
Yeah,
I don't know. You mean in character?
Yes, in character. I don't know. Like human
yeah.
Half orc, but undead and very
high perception. So,
well, you see, you've probably got
the highest perception.
Okay, I'm going to go. So, as you guys are looking at your maps and. Trying to determine where you go next, you literally hear in a whisper, if the carnival's happy, he's happy. What do you do?
Just him? Only he hears it? Yep.
Did
you guys hear that?
Ginkgo.
No, I seem to be holding the map in a weird direction.
Who said that?
Said what?
I didn't say nothing.
If the carnival's happy, he's happy.
Well,
someone just whispered it.
Well, you said that just now.
Yeah, but before that.
Technically, yes.
But I said it the second time.
No, you said it the first time.
Give me a quick perception check.
Who is the he you are talking about, sir?
That's 18.
With an 18, you know it came from the tree. What do you do?
The carnival's happy, he's happy.
I'll turn to the tree now.
Who's he?
What do you mean?
You just said, if the carnival's happy, he's happy.
Oh,
who's he?
Mr. Light. He likes more. He likes nothing more than to see a sea of smiling faces. If the carnival's happy, he's happy.
Then what?
He then looks
wish?
At... The at Durad.
And Mr. Witch, well, the carnival can't run without Mr. Witch. No, he can't run. More his pocket watch, yes, his pocket watch. I hope he never loses it.
What does this pocket watch look like? Whereabouts does he keep it?
The pocket watch, yes, I've never seen him without it. It's a normal pocket watch, you know, the watch you keep in the pocket. Yes, pocket watch.
I've never been one for keeping time, but...
I've never been able to afford time. Well, I guess that's...
Snail racing time,
I guess. Now, I think if I look at the map, I think it's this way. And I'm just going to start walking in a random direction.
No, back to them dragonflies.
Just a point of clarity. Did you say the pocket watch was broken?
No, I did not.
Okay,
no,
that's right.
No, I did not.
He's always got the pocket watch, sorry.
Yes, that's all I said about the pocket watch.
Oh, well, all right, if I can't lead the way, you lead the way.
Of course you can't lead the way. It lead us into an acid pit of some form. There's none near here.
Yeah, no, I...
All right. So as you're walking down, as you're walking down towards the snail racing, I'm going to get you to roll a d8 for me, please.
You should probably clarify which
Darren. Well, not it's not going to be Darren because it's going to be Rylan who's going to roll it, and it's not for the characters, for everybody.
I'm scrolling through the pages looking for the dice that's on every page. That would be an 8.
That's how many limbs we lose as a
collective? Yes, absolutely. No, it is not.
Now we have to carry around Grexis and Elthilion because, you know, they've lost all their
So they just pocketed meat bags.
Those are the worst messages to get in the group chat when you're not at a session.
Mm.
Oh yeah, by the way, your character is happening.
Oh, I should have just got Grexis to pay for me, eh? Shit.
You guys are horrible.
Yeah.
Cool. So as you guys are walking down, you see a troop of gnomish clowns as you guys are walking along. You see the gnomish clowns all of a sudden break out into a lively jig. What do you do?
I'm going to try it. I'm just going to dance along from the side.
I was just about to say I'm going to join in.
Awesome.
I'm just going to stand
what,
and watch.
What are they wearing?
Clown outfits. Are you looking for something particular?
No, I just want to know what they're wearing.
Okay.
Like how ostentatious is their outfit?
Their outfits are really bright, really blubbly, really light, really colourful. Very clownish. Very much what you'd imagine from a proper circus. They're just gnomes, really short.
Tech-toes,
I just want to put it out there, those guys know how to dress. They are dapper.
Oh. Now I understand why.
Tecto is going to take a step back and just sort of like there's just I'd probably be next to Ginkgo. You'd probably just hear this coming from Tecto, and he just sort of keeps slowly stepping backwards, just keep going back.
I'll back up with you and stick next to you.
I'll just interject. What are you wearing?
What am I wearing?
We'll get to that in a moment.
But first, we have to dance.
Awesome. So, who's dancing?
Durad.
Durad and Darren are dancing away. Why are you backing up? Is it something in your backstory that I...
Yeah, I've got to get to. Sort of, yeah.
Okay, so is it the clowns or is it the gnomes?
I'm going to get the gnomes. Not the clowns.
The gnomes themselves.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get to that one a little bit, and guys, we'll put that on the... it'll be recorded, so you guys will hear that too. Awesome. Yes.
Can I attempt to match their jig as perfectly as possible by making a performance check?
You may. I was about to get you to do a performance check as well. And you can do one as well. Durad?
An 18.
All right, so Darren, with an 18, you are almost flawlessly mimicking their jig. Well done.
I have a
negative
unnatural 20.
An unnatural 20? You know, for the undead, you're doing these really cool undead robot moves.
doing the
thriller. Okay, so you're doing the thriller dance. Got it. Awesome. That is brilliant. Okay. So after about 10 minutes, the troop moves on. Awesome. So what would you guys like to do?
Once I was sort of like 20 feet back from it, like I sort of, the growling stops and I kind of just stand perfectly still and watch. And then as they move along, it's kind of like a relaxed wave comes over Tecto and just, okay. Well, that was quite weird.
Shall we? We were going to some snail races.
Ah, yes, snail racing. Yes, that's correct, yes. Got caught up in the dancing.
Awesome. I gotta admit, there were some fly moves that you have there, sir.
From both of us.
Yes, it was very strange. But jovial nonetheless. This is rather fun.
Awesome. So as you guys head into the head towards the snail racing, the grandstand next to this race course is filled with cheering fairgoers, ringing bells and swinging rattles, waving flags. On the start line, 8 giant snails are having their shells scrubbed by pixies. Above the circular course, a wooden gantry hangs from the branches of a central tree, where 2 goblins officiate the proceedings. What do you do?
Oh, stand back and have a good look. See, see if there's anyone placing bets, or if this is a way to make money, or if this is just another kind of ride.
Yeah, I'm going to do the same. I'm going to fly about 15 feet up in the air so I can get a bit of a better bird's eye view.
All right.
I'm going to do the thing I do first of every horse racing bet. I'm going to see if there's a bar around.
And give me a perception check.
I am going to wait for those two to finish whatever those two were doing.
Okay. So
17 for that perception.
With a perception of 17, you remember that the bar, what could be passed as a bar, is not found anywhere near the snail racing.
No.
Awesome. So you guys have had a quick look. So what were you looking for, Tecto?
Oh, so like, is this like horse races or is this like...
NASCAR? Yes, it's very much like NASCAR.
Yeah, yeah.
I will...
Place in bets to... Yeah.
Oh, betting. So you can give me an investigation check. And what were you looking for? Just getting a general layout.
Kind of, and also seeing if there's like a particular snail that seems to be the fastest one or anything like that. Or even if it's not, even if it's like when you go to a theme park and they do go-kart racing, it's just for fun, or whether it's actually proper racing. Either way, I really want to be the fastest one on the snail.
That's kind of what I meant. Is it like a little like fun ride sort of thing? Or is it like
see one of the workers jump on and they pick out the one from the back and you're like, that's the
quick one.
Yeah.
22 on my investigation.
So on your investigation, you notice that there is no betting per se, but you do notice that there is a way for you to participate and win a prize by being the fastest snail.
Okay.
What you notice is that as you're looking up, there's all the snails have different coloured flags wrapped around the shell of the snail. Now, the snail itself also have... So there's like 8 different snails with 8 different colours, but there is also written along the shell is the name of the snail. You do notice 3 that really stand out. You've got Breakneck, Wizzy, and Nimblefoot. All right, Nimblefoot happens to be blue, Wizzy happens to be orange, and Breakneck happens to be red.
Nimblefoot? Sorry?
Yeah, well, this is mainly for Ginkgo. All right. So now what do you guys do?
Oh, this seems right fine. I'm going to come up, I'm going to get real close, and... Good, sir. How is this all... I'll go to the Connie there and be like, so what, how does this all work, good sir?
Well, roll up, guys. Roll up, ladies, oh, gentlemen, come on in. Let me tell you, it's real simple. This is just a snail race. You jump on a snail, fastest one goes around the 480-foot track, wins a prize. We do have a consolation prize if you come in last, as long as you don't cheat. it costs 1 ticket punch to enter. Who's up for a bit of a race?
this one seems a little bit more fun, isn't
it? Say again?
What constitutes cheap?
Awesome. That's real, real simple. I'll get to the snail racing rules in a moment, but basically you're not allowed to harm another player. You're not allowed to scare or to use magic on the snail. Yes, you cannot use magic. No quickening.
No quickening, but what about guiding?
No magic whatsoever. Use magic, you will lose. You will be disqualified. That's the end of it. You're not allowed to scare snails. You are not allowed to fight the snails. You are not allowed to do anything naughty to the snails. Snails you cannot harm. You can urge it to go with... you can try and get it to go faster by using sounds and giving it some nice little taps on the shell to let it know you want it to go faster. We'll go through that as you go.
I'm definitely in for this, but I've got no hopes of winning. If that dragonfly ride was anything to indicate.
Awesome. So, Tacto.
Thank you, sir.
Darren Grinko. And do we have... and am I getting you to jump in with us too, fine young gentleman?
I ain't one for high speed.
You ain't one for high, no drum, no drummers. Feel free to jump up on the stand and off we go.
Not good for my tender stomach.
Your tender stomach? No worries. All right. So basically, to give you to run through how this is going to work, because obviously this is a race. It'll be divided into 6 second rounds. Okay, guess what? That's 10 rounds per minute. and I'll basically get you two. Once each round, I'll get you to make an animal handling check. On a success, I'll tell you how much faster you go. Okay. To be honest, I wasn't expecting to be doing this one tonight, considering how far away it is from the front gate. But that's okay. So basically, you give me go through and get an animal handling check from every one of you as you go around during the 6 seconds. But first thing I need you to do is to choose your horses. All right. So, your snails. Good point.
As soon as we are given any sort of prompt to pick one, I'm going to get straight for the blue one that was called Breakneck.
And I'm going to...
Nimblefoot was blue, Breakneck was red.
Oh, I'll go Nimblefoot, sorry.
Nimblefoot.
Whichever one he goes for, I'm going to attempt to get there first. I'm going to try and push... Oh, thank you, if it works.
So, strength is speed, speed is strength, so give me a strength check.
Fuck. Versus... Oh, no.
What's your modifier?
Negative one.
So it's mine.
So it's just a straight D20 roll. Let's go.
15.
Ah, shit.
All right. So we've got...
And as I see him do that and see the misery on his face as I make him on there, I say, go for the orange one.
Orange one. Okay. Oh. And then I'll beeline for the orange one. Taking him at his word.
What are the other colours and names?
All right, so as you guys are walking through, snail number one is Shelly Moo. She is pink. Snail number two, obviously Nimblefoot, she is blue. Snail number three is High Road. It is purple. Snail number four is Quick Leaf, and that is green. Snail number five is Flower Flash, yellow. Snail number six is Wizzy, and is orange. Was that the one you were going? Orange one?
That's what you said, yeah. Go with
yep. Snail number seven is Breakneck at red, and snail number eight is Queen's Majesty at black.
I'm going purple.
Purple is High Road. That is for Darren.
For High Road.
And we've got Tecto.
Seems fitting for a cleric.
On Wizzy.
What color was Flower Flash?
Yellow.
Yellow. Sorry. Yep.
Yep. Awesome.
Apparently I take extensive notes.
That's fine. That's really, really good. All right. So, guys, so as you get there, the pixies are there scrubbing away. You've got three pixies on each snail scrubbing it up. I'm assuming, Durad, you're in the stands just watching, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Straight face cheering.
Straight face cheering. Go. Go.
Yeah. Go fast.
Awesome.
You guys got this.
All right, so everybody gets at the start line. All right, and then as you get ready to go, it is ready, set, and go. All right, so this is round number one. All right, so everyone, please give me an animal handling check.
17.
Whoa.
11.
So that is.
Come on, Wizzy. We got this, Wizzy.
To assist my snail, am I able to take my physical weight off it and fly and push and assist it in moving forward?
No.
That's a good question.
I'm going to answer that straight up, only because I like it. I would imagine you keep your, but no, the snails all go the same. Same pace. Okay, so that is absolutely excellent. Now, snail race surprise is at 5. Just as you guys have sprinted off, and I'll let you know, most of the pack are sitting at about 20 feet with snail number 4. Who wants to tell me who snail number 4 is? Quickly, good answer. The green one. jumping ahead at a speed of 40 foot with Darren and Tecto snails heading ahead at 40 foot along with snail number 5, which is Flower Flash. All right, and as we're going around, right now, what do we get, 5? A spectator throws a head of lettuce at one at the track. snail and Grinko snail, that's right, Nimblefoot stops and eats the lettuce.
Oh no.
If I cast speak with animals on myself, would that be cheating?
What was the rules?
No,
okay. Yeah. Everyone roll except for Ginkgo. Everyone roll a
natural 20.
A animal handling.
Yeah, natural 20.
Technically, it does not count for skill checks.
Yeah, it does.
14. What is your animal handling?
Zero.
Yeah.
Oh. So 20.
That's as high as it's going.
All right.
So that means you just rolled a 17 last round. I have like a plus 3 to my. I rolled 40.
Yeah, I'm statted particularly weirdly.
Awesome. So as the snails are moving up, we have. Shelly Moo, let's start at the head of the race. Leading the race, we have Tied On. At first place, we have Tecto and on Wizzy, and we have Flower Flash at 80 foot. Coming up behind them is Darren riding High Road, sitting at 70 feet. At 50 feet, we have Shelly Moo, Quick Leaf, and Queen's Majesty. Leading up behind them, we do have Breakneck, and coming out last is Ginkgo sitting on Nimblefoot. So that is the second round. So third round, guys, I'll get you to roll your dice, please. Oh, your animal handling.
17.
6.
4.
Oh.
That's with a plus 3 modifier.
Oh,
that's a natural one.
Oh, no.
Thankfully, it doesn't count. Sorry, Darren, what'd you get?
17.
You don't make math easy for you, do you?
Considering Ginkgo was like the one who wanted to really do well.
Yeah,
this,
yeah.
He's doing terribly. And it's
I know. sorry, what'd you get? Awesome. So at the end of the third round, we have Coming first is Darren, riding on top of Trilly. Crap.
High Road.
Yeah, we have Darren on top of High Road. Followed by Tecto riding on Wizzy, and we've also got Flower Flash also at 100. Following behind them is Quick Leaf at 90. We have tied for second last. We have Queen's Majesty, Breakneck, and Shelly Moo coming in at last. A good 30 foot behind the racers, and some 70 foot behind everybody else, behind the race leaders. We do have Ginkgo on High Road.
Come on, girl, we can get it back.
Awesome.
Ginkgo is not High Road, he has Nimblefoot.
And because they are from the crowd, you hear, come on, Ginkgo, come on, Ginkgo, you can do it, yay! The snail Ginkgo is riding gets an extra 20 feet of boosted movement. And that was actually rolled, guys, so no cheating this one. Guys, roll for your round on this one, please.
11.
Also 11.
Oh, no!
Oh, so Ginkgo. That is another 4 for Ginkgo.
What's your animal handling? What do you got?
That's another nat 1.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So yeah. You have a +3.
Yes.
You will remain 10 feet behind.
Seeing that my snail seems to really be struggling, I'm just going to pat him and...
It's
start whispering in his ear.
I right. Like it.
You go your own pace.
Well, the crowd, race seems to be catching up really close together now. We do have Darren sitting on top of
High Road
at 130 feet. We've got coming in just behind Darren. We do have Shelly Moo. And Quick Leaf.
Yeah.
Sorry, before that, in front of those two, we do have Flower Flash and Tecto riding on top of Wizzy, followed by Shelly Moo and Quick Leaf. Behind that, we have Breakneck. And behind Breakneck, we have got Queen's Majesty. And coming up last, we do have Ginkgo riding on Nimblefoot. All right, guys, that is the fourth round. Let's keep going.
I'm gonna just be like, come on, Wizzy, you got this. We can catch him. I'll yell out to, hey, Darren, your tail's on fire.
So for everyone at the table and those who are listening, when I roll the imaginary dice on the screen here, you get to see the dice roll. For a second, it just sat at a 1 and then just turned over onto a 13.
No.
So that's a 16.
Damn it. First time rolling over.
I do kind of wish it was another 1 because I just feel like that would be hilarious.
Yeah. I got a 12.
I got a 12 too.
Ooh.
What's that, 3 times now that we've rolled the same number?
Twice. You beat me twice. That's the 5th. I'm good at math.
We did 12 this time, 11 last time, and at the very start, it was 18? No, second round, 17.
Ooh. And
I could be very mistaken, so.
And
if we have.
All right, as the races close up together, this is getting really exciting. Can't believe this has got to go for 480 feet. All right, so in the lead we still have Darren. However, he's quickly being caught up by Flower Flash at 160. We do have Tecto coming in close behind. Behind Tecto we have got Breakneck and Shelly Moo. We've got behind Breakneck and Shelly Moo, we've got Queen's Majesty. And then coming in last, once again, we do have Ginkgo on Nimblefoot. All right, and this time we have got Spectator throws another head of lettuce onto the field in front of Quickleaf.
Yeah, everyone's like, yes, not my ball.
That's
Quickleaf,
the one that was catching on to me.
I still got a chance.
Yeah. Guys, what we're going to do is we're going to take a break for about 15 minutes. We have been going.